I invite you to turn with me now in your copy of God's Word to Psalm 117, and that is on page 511 in the Blue Bibles. Psalm 117. This is the shortest psalm in the Bible, but it's not to be overlooked. Its two verses are packed with meaning. Psalm 117, this is God's word. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples. For great is his steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Please speak to us through it and stir up praises within us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This psalm is clearly addressed to us. It says, praise the Lord, all nations. And so that encompasses, of course, every single person here. So this is addressed to us. It's for us. An interesting thing about this psalm, though, is that clearly it was written by a Jewish person. We don't know who. It was also written for use in the Jewish temple there in Jerusalem. So it was, from one perspective, Jewish-centered as written. But it says here, praise the Lord, all nations. So it envisions people from all over coming to worship the Lord. And as such, it looks forward to the reign of our Lord Jesus Christ, Christ who comes to fulfill God's promises to Israel, but then to open up those promises to people of every nation, Jews and Gentiles alike. Along those lines, or in keeping with that thought, Paul the Apostle quotes verse 1 of this psalm in the book of Romans. And so we will get to this point by God's grace, but in the Roman church, apparently the Jewish and the Gentile Christians were having a bit of tension. This tension apparently had to do with the observance of various feast days, the eating or non-eating of certain foods. And so there were some issues along those lines. Very understandable issues, very understandable, as the faith moves from being a Jewish-centered faith to being a worldwide faith. So these issues are coming up. And Paul says there in Romans 15, he says, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. Welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. And then he goes on to quote Psalm 117 about God's mercy going to all the nations. So this shows up in the New Testament. Another way we know that this is for us. So, let the redeemed from all nations praise the Lord. And verse 2 of this psalm especially brings out two things for which God is to be praised, a couple reasons to give him our praise and our thanks, and our meditation this morning will focus on these two. First, God's commitment. God's commitment. As verse 2 says, great is his steadfast love toward us. Great is his steadfast love toward us. Steadfast love is committed love. We know, I think, the importance of committed love. You could imagine a young man who's sweet on a young lady saying to her in a certain tone of voice, I love you. And she would be within her rights to say, where's the ring? Show me a piece of metal with a rock on it. Talk is cheap. Let's have some commitment. It's a little hard to imagine it being said in just those words. But I think young ladies would do well to say such things in one way or another, and young men to figure out where they stand. And, you know, well, I'm getting off topic here. That's not what this sermon is about. Steadfast love is committed love. So, important to be committed. The Hebrew word translated steadfast love means It's a single word, and it means something like loyal affection. Loyal affection, or a love that, it's a love that carries out obligations. It is a love that executes duties. And when God commits himself to bless people by making a covenant, so God makes a covenant with his people Israel, with Abraham, and then with David, and through Moses, this word steadfast love often shows up in connection with this covenant God makes, the covenant expressing God's commitment. So here's Isaiah chapter 54, verse 10. It says, "For the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you, and my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you." That's commitment. God loving us, and not just saying it, but actually making a covenant and living that covenant out with the commitment of steadfast love. This expression, steadfast love, points us to the fact that God's love does not get tired. God's love for us does not wear thin. But verse 2 says, great is his steadfast love. It's a great thing. And this word great has connotations of mightiness. It is often used in the context of a valorous man or of wartime. It is a mighty love. It is a victory-winning love. As we put these thoughts together, we see that Jesus' work of bringing steadfast love to the nations is a mighty work. As our Lord Jesus Christ comes in due time, takes our nature, dies for us, and then rises from the dead to apply the benefits of his work, this is a mighty work. It is a strong work of most committed, steadfast, faithful love. What a reason for thanks that gives us. The Lord's steadfast love. You can appreciate this better by putting the Lord's steadfast love in contrast with your own best efforts at loving. And here we are, sinners by nature condemned, redeemed by the Lord, and we ought to love him with all of our hearts. Sometimes our love is strong. Sometimes our love grows weak. Sometimes our affections are well-placed. Sometimes they are misplaced. Our love waxes and wanes. It goes up and down. But our Lord's does not. Christ is committed to us. You can see his commitment maybe more than anything when he carries out his saving work in agony. In a certain sense, not wanting to do it. And even asking God if it could be done some other way. But Christ, in his great love, suffers that way for us because he's committed, because God has made a covenant with us. God is going to carry out his duties, the duties that he's committed to by his grace alone. This commitment of God to us strengthens us in the face of the uncertainties of life. In other words, God's love for us doesn't waver, it doesn't wobble. There are many things in life, I don't have to tell you, there are many things in life that waver and that wobble. We face surprises, both of the pleasant and the unpleasant sort. There are surprises in the news. There are surprising developments in our culture. There are surprising developments in our lives. And in our own loves, there we experience failures of love. Both our own failure to carry out our commitments as earnestly as we should, and the failure of others to carry out their commitments to us. So there's many wobbles and many failures. But when we come together on Thanksgiving, we celebrate this. Great is the steadfast love of the Lord. It doesn't fail. It doesn't wobble. Our Lord is committed to us by sending his Son, Jesus Christ. And this is a covenant, a solemn agreement on God's part. God is in this for keeps, and this is an anchor for our souls, the steadfast love of the Lord. I want you to feel the strength of that this morning, his commitment to you. So there's God's commitment. Great is his steadfast love. And then next here, God's constancy, his constancy. The faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. That's not really saying a different thing. That's a way of underlining what's just been said about God's commitment by emphasizing that God is in this for the long haul. His faithfulness endures forever. So God applies his love consistently for all his people over all ages, through every circumstance, in every nation. The Lord will never let us down. His faithfulness endures forever, and his faithfulness enduring forever has at least these three implications. Because his faithfulness endures forever, that shows us that God's faithfulness transcends the moment. It endures forever, forever. We've heard many examples of God's faithfulness this morning. And these are many specific instances of how God has, you know, we had a need, and then God graciously met that need in the past year. And these things we note. We ought to note these specific blessings when they come. Many times when we call out to the Lord, it's as clear as when a child needs a Band-Aid. They have an owie, and mom or dad puts a Band-Aid on their owie. I don't mean to trivialize any of the things that have been mentioned here. There's been great things mentioned here. But it's the meeting of those kind of needs are just that specific and just that clear. And so we say, look at the Lord's faithfulness. I had this need, and look at his provision. Good to note those specific things, but the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. And that reminds us that God's faithfulness embraces just more than I need right now, more than what I think I need right now. And God in his faithfulness pursues the ultimate good for all times and all nations. Therefore, my good is wrapped up in this greater plan of God's faithfulness for all time. It's wrapped up and involved of what he is doing in all people and in all ages. And it includes not just my current moment, but it includes his plan for history, and it includes the destination to which he is taking me as well. In other words, God's faithfulness is just as immense as he is. Yes, he met my needs today, and I'm grateful for that, but friends, his faithfulness endures forever. It is a vast thing we're talking about. It is greater than the moment, is one implication. And then following from this, his faithfulness transcends my understanding. In other words, God is faithful even when I don't see how, because his faithfulness endures forever. It is an immense and long-term thing. And this is something that God's saints in grave difficulties have grabbed onto, the faithfulness of God, even when they couldn't see it. Like Job said famously, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Or we could think of God commanding Abraham to sacrifice his son. And it doesn't tell you what Isaac was thinking, but I can imagine Isaac thinking, this doesn't look very good, but I trust my father. And in the meantime, Abraham is thinking, this doesn't look very good, but I trust my father. He's trusting his father. And we can trust our father, friends, because his faithfulness is everlasting. And he will do us good. Our Lord Jesus Christ said this when he said, if you then, being evil, know how to show good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? God is faithful. His faithfulness being forever reminds us that we are dealing here with a vast thing, with God himself and his goodness and his plan. And it is true even when it surpasses our understanding. And so here's a final implication that, of course, the faithfulness of God transcends our deserving. Can any of us lay claim on God's faithfulness? Can any of us say, well, I have been unendingly faithful to you, therefore, you be faithful to me? Of course not. We have sadly transgressed God's law even today. And we struggle to serve him in any fitting measure. We struggle and fail in many ways. We don't deserve God's eternal favor, God's unending faithfulness, but there is someone who does deserve it. There is someone who, in his perfect behavior, has earned God's unending favor and the gift of eternal life, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ has stood in our place. Christ has gained God's favor for us. So when we trust in him, join to him, God then blesses us with what Jesus deserves. And we inherit God's favor in the Lord Jesus. That's why it is a firm and steadfast thing, because Christ has gained it for us. God's faithful to give you the eternal life Jesus has gained. So, punchline. None of us can say, I've been such a good person that I deserve God's blessing. I've been such a good Christian this year, I deserve to go eat turkey and have a nice feast, and I deserve these blessings. None of us can say such a thing. We're not here to celebrate our faithfulness. We're here to celebrate the faithfulness of our good God, whose steadfast love is great, and his faithfulness endures for all time. So as the psalm says, praise the Lord. Let's pray now and give him our thanks. Our Father in heaven, we do praise you for your great faithfulness and your goodness. Looking back over this year, we are amazed at the record that we see, not just in our lives, but in these testimonies of many other people here today. We thank you for this day in which we get to count our blessings. Father, we thank you that your steadfast love to us is indeed great and comes to us by way of your commitment, by way of covenant, freely made by your grace. And so, Father, your favor being set on your dearly beloved Son, we know that your favor to us and your faithfulness will indeed last forever. Father, we pray that you would stir up gratitude in our hearts, and together with gratitude, a fitting faithfulness to you. We pray that you would cause us to be more and more dutiful and faithful sons and daughters as we look forward to the inheritance we will gain through our Savior Jesus Christ and by his work alone. We pray all these things in his name. Amen.